Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Sometimes in our busy lives, it's easy to wonder if our voice is really making any difference. Well, today, Pastor Billy discusses how your voice can break through the culture, as well as break through your circumstances in these end times. Today's message is titled, A Voice in the Wilderness. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
I'd like to speak to you today about what it means to be a voice in the wilderness. In that great prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3, he spoke of a coming time whenever there would be a man raised up named John the Baptist, and that he would be a forerunner to the Christ, to Jesus, and that he would be a voice in the wilderness, simply meaning that he would be a voice that nobody would want to listen to, and that nobody wanted to pay attention to, that nobody had a value on what he was saying. He felt alone. He felt like, who is here to listen to this wonderful message I have about the Christ? It was his own cousin, and that even though it was his own cousin and that he had experiences with him from early on, it was simply clear that when he came with this profound message that Jesus of Nazareth was the coming Messiah, that it was he that was born of a virgin, that it was he that was at the age of 12 pronounced in the temple that this is me fulfilling these prophecies. And then he was kept in these silent years, kept privately secluded for preparation until the time of his arrival on the scene, of which he was 30 years old, and John the Baptist was to come before him and speaking to the people, speaking to those there that had ears to hear and a heart that would understand that this is the way of the Lord. The Messiah is here. And as he began to speak, he found something so interesting, and that is this: nobody wanted to listen to him. No one related to him. No one wanted to identify with him, and no one understood his message. They simply looked at him and said, "What do you know? What does your knowledge matter? You came out of the desert. You look like a homeless indigent. You look like somebody, you know, who don't know anything from anything. And you're saying that the Lord is coming." And so John became a loner. He became, you know, a prophet that was prophesying to people who did not want to hear, who were not willing to be awakened at that moment, and actually who began to resent the very message that he was bringing. He was bringing a message of change, of reformation, of repentance. He was telling the people that there was one coming after him that was greater than him, and that he was coming with, you know, the baptism of fire, a purging power that would transform their lives and bring another kingdom onto this planet. All of which they really didn't want to hear. They felt very threatened. They felt very afraid. They were very defensive. They did not want to be awakened to the new move that God was bringing into the earth. You know, once you've come out of darkness, once you've been enlightened about Jesus, once you've been, you know, enlightened about the Holy Spirit, you've learned about eternity, you've come into some knowledge about these wonderful promises in the Word of God, and once you've ever experienced the wonderful power of God, you know, it isn't something that you want to keep to yourself. It's so real. It's so wonderful. It's so rewarding that you want to share it with everybody and anybody that will listen to you about what you have experienced in this wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, very few really want to hear about your new found way of living. They just don't want to hear about it. All my life, as a young boy and now as a grown man, I've been an early riser in the morning. I awake alert and ready to go. However, the rest of the family, in my early family, you know, they didn't want to be awakened. They wanted to sleep a little longer. And therefore, I had to learn to practice restraint while I was up early at 6 and 6:30 and 7. I had to practice restraint, and I couldn't make a lot of noise, talking, phone calls, TV, or music of any kind. Why? Why did I have to practice restraint? Because they did not want to be awakened, you know, early. They did not want to be awakened whenever I was awakened. Today we have a culture that doesn't want to be awakened. People's preference about God is to be personal and private. To be open in public, or like in the workplace or the school or any public gatherings like restaurants, shopping malls, and family get-togethers is for the most part an invasion of a person's privacy. It's okay and relevant to talk about problems or sports. And of course, it's always okay to talk about yourself, what you did, what you're doing, and what you plan to do. These types of conversations seem to be relevant, they're mainstream, they're status quo, and they're socially accepted. Basically, all they are non-threatening. You know, and that's the very reason, the very reason for our existence is to know God, to experience God, and to share the ways of God, how it's impacting each of our lives. But then again, this is not politically correct, and this is very threatening. And however, that leaves us with what can we do, and what do we feel, and how can we say, where does that leave all of us? The same place it seemed to leave John the Baptist. We feel alone in what we can say, can't say, what we can share, what we can't share, and we feel like we're a voice in this massive wilderness. And we're left, you know, we're sentenced to be able only to share it with certain people in a certain setting, on a certain day, in a certain building. And therefore, there is a lid or a rock put on our well, and we're restrained from being as free as we'd like to be about who God is, what He's doing, about His healing power, about His peace, you know, about His saving power, about His deliverance power, about prosperity, about the abundant life plan that God has for each and all on this earth who will come to Him and accept Him in an amazing way. And we become a voice in the wilderness. John the Baptist simply could not keep it in. He could not keep his mouth silent. He was not a politically correct individual. He was not a secret agent of Christianity. He heard, he saw, he was touched, and now he must tell. You know, he ran into the very same things that we all run into. And that is, nobody seems to care, but he still told. Nobody seems to sometimes even be around to tell him too. He seemed to oftentimes be alone, but he would speak into sheer space as he would look out over the desert, the cactus and the sand. He seemed like at times that a lot of times that nobody would take him serious as he spoke about this coming kingdom, about this Jesus, the Messiah, yet he still told. Irregardless of what he felt, irregardless of what it looked like, and irregardless of whether people paid attention or not, he did not let that put the brakes on what he had personally experienced and believed, and he continued to be a voice. Oh, I can't say it enough today, precious one. We must continue to be a voice. But what did John the Baptist know? What could cause a man against all of the odds to swim upstream, to feel alone, to be culturally rejected, you know, to be a misfit, to be alone? What did this man know? What motivated him to stand alone and face the opposition of this cultural tsunami? What did he know? Let me tell you a few things that John the Baptist knew. Number one, he knew that God was listening. He knew that as he was called to be a voice for what he knew and a voice for what he experienced, though nobody else would support him, though nobody else seemed to pay attention or put value on his words, he knew that his God was the one that he was accountable to and had to answer to. He knew his life. He knew that his identity, his flow. He knew that everything special that he was, the unique individuality that God gave, he knew where it all came from. And he knew that every time he opened up his mouth, whether that was to the open desert, whether it was to a Pharisee who didn't want to pay attention, to a common person who really didn't understand what he was talking about, he knew that as he was speaking, though many turned their head, though many said, "Where are you coming from?" When many thought that he was completely crazy, he knew that God was listening to him. Oh my. He knew that the devil and all of the demon powers were hearing him as well. He knew about that other realm called the spiritual realm. And even though common people didn't want to hear him and Jewish leaders didn't want to hear him, he knew also that when he opened up his mouth and he began to speak about this coming Savior, his kingdom, he began to speak about how he would rule and reign and how all could be a part of this. It became such a threat to the Roman Empire, to the Jewish hierarchy. It became such a threat, and he knew he was disturbing something even greater than Rome and greater than the Jewish hierarchy. He was disturbing the underworld, that spirit world that was really maneuvering behind the scenes among these political figures to keep a control and a lid on these great people of Israel. The devil always wants to interrupt God's plans for you, God's plans for the nation, God's plans for the world. He's always someone who's trying to hinder, and he works through people. He works through events. He works through governments. He hides behind all of these different entities so that he can remain a mystery and not let people even know or believe that he's really there. But John the Baptist knew that as he was speaking, he was stirring the pot. He knew that God heard him. He knew that dark powers, the powers of darkness, heard him. But he also knew that deep underneath a lot of these people that were, you know, they were enslaved to Roman culture. They were enslaved to some of the Jewish laws and the bondage of the Jewish laws. He knew that underneath a lot of these people, there was a deep hunger in their hearts for freedom. He knew that a lot of these people really practiced religion, but they still felt dead and empty on the inside. That they were trying to be loyal to a form of religion that was carried over from, you know, the Old Testament, the whole tabernacle, animal sacrificial system. And God was about to do a new thing in the earth. He was about to take this from animal blood, you know, to the blood of his son, Jesus. Animal blood that covered, the blood of Jesus that purged. One covered the sins, one took the sins away. This was a revolution in the making, and God needed a voice. He needed someone that wasn't spineless, someone that wasn't cowardly, someone that wasn't intimidated by the status quo. He needed someone that would rise up and begin to enter this whole planet into a new season, into a new reformation. John the Baptist was that man. But listen to me, he became a voice in the wilderness. What's that mean? Initially, nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. But God heard, the dark powers heard, and the people that were still enslaved to the culture, to the governments, and all of those other policies, they heard too. Now, they may not have been able to react and respond immediately for fear of what reprisal would come upon them from officials and from the Roman Empire. These people, the Christians, paid a price. Because back in that day, no one could be called king. There was no other emperor. There was no other great leader. Only the leader of Caesar and Rome and the Nero and those Roman powers. But when someone would rise up and declare themselves to be king and ruler, I don't care. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor, if you were a peasant or someone that had, you know, great status. You were considered to be a threat to the Roman Empire. And that, of course, meant torture and a very horrible, horrible kind of death. What did this John the Baptist know? He knew that God heard his voice. He knew that the dark powers heard his voice. He knew that the people that deep down inside were crying for freedom, crying for someone to come along and identify with their suffering and their pain. He knew they heard. And he knew, somehow he knew, that the Holy Spirit was able to take those words and do a mighty, mighty work deep on the inside of people. So even though it seems like that nobody was listening. Even though it seemed like he was alone, because of his relationship with Jesus, because he had that closeness with him, and because he spent time with him, because he really believed what he saw and heard, he counted his experiences to be so precious and valuable. They all were used to bring him to an absolute resolve, a deep conviction. People, unless we come to a deep conviction, if we're trying to live off of what our church believes or our parents believe or what our friends believe or what we heard in school, it won't last. It won't stand the time of any kind of testing, persecution, ridicule. It won't last. But whenever you get deeply, deeply convicted, whenever you're able to process all that you've heard and read and experienced, and you allow yourself to say, you know what, this is what I absolutely see. Anything with absolute is minus any mixture. There's no margin of error when there's an absolute. You know, gravity is an absolute law. If you jump off of a building, you absolutely will drop. There's no chance, there's no margin of error. It's just the law of gravity. Absolutes, whenever you make a decision and there's no margin of error. You don't turn back whenever you're at work. You don't back down whenever you're on vacation or whenever you meet somebody. You are absolutely convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, that he came, you know, that he paid for the sins of the world, that he suffered, that he rose again the third day, you know, that he walked this earth, that he taught, that he preached, he performed miracles, you know, and that he promised us a better way. And of course, the blessed hope of everything is that he's coming back again someday soon, this preacher believes. You know, and that's why today, listen to me very carefully. That's why today you may not feel like anybody is listening to you. You may feel very, very alone. It may be in your own family, maybe in your church, your school, your neighborhood. Maybe you feel like, you know, nobody really cares about what I feel, what I think. You may even be afraid as you hear this voice coming through this CD to you right now. You may be very afraid to even open up about how you feel about Jesus, your relationship. And yet, I'm saying this to you. You are called in this hour to bring an awakening, to awaken people out of a deep, dark sleep. So many people out there are blinded by culture, by technology, you know, by the new thing of the moment. And there's a storm coming, a great storm upon the earth. It's coming like it is in the days of Noah, Jesus said, whenever there's little time to think or prepare, and many will be swept and lost forever. But because of you, my friend, there's no way that you could ever comprehend. You say, but Pastor Billy, I'm just a nobody. No, there are no nobodies in this kingdom. You know, whenever the woman with the issue touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said, somebody touched me. In other words, she was a nobody, but when she touched Jesus, she became a somebody. That's who you are. You are a somebody. You are a somebody who's going somewhere. And you're going somewhere to do something. Did you get that, my friend? You are a somebody. Maybe nobody ever told you that. Maybe you haven't heard that in your own family. Maybe you haven't heard that at school. Maybe you're hearing me and you haven't, you know, broken a record, wrote a book, or invented anything. And maybe you're comparing yourself with all the wrong people. When you get born again, when you come into the family of God, irrespective of age and color and gender and achievement, you become a somebody. We're sons and we're daughters of the Most High God. We're heirs of the Father and we're joint heirs of the Son. And when you speak, God has it already planned for people to hear you, even though they may not seem like they hear you. They may not want to pretend that they learned something from you or that you ministered to them or you touched them. People have pride. People are, you know, sometimes just don't want you to know how much sense that you are making, that you're touching a sore spot, an empty spot, and they don't always give you your due. That's not your job or my job, is to understand everybody. Our job is to understand that we have been touched by the Master, that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has done something with his words, with his teaching, with his power. And it's our job to convey as simply as we can. No one's asking anyone to stand out on the street corner with a megaphone and shout it. It's just in your daily life, as you go about work, as you go about recreation, as you go about everywhere that you go. Every day, people exchange verbiage, you know, and stories on the train, on the bus, in the cab, on the plane. It's just life. And it's in those moments where we have an opportunity to let people know about our experiences. We don't have to preach the whole Bible to them. Just a little word anointed by the Holy Spirit can cause an implosion inside of people. It can heal them. It can deliver them. It can create a thirstiness in their soul to want to leave your presence and research it even more. That's why it's so important that you don't buy into the lie that nobody cares or nobody's listening. Listen to me. Everybody's listening. Everybody's looking for answers. Everybody realizes that answers to great things are sometimes found in the most unusual places. And what you may not know, but I'm praying by the time you get done listening to me today, that you will understand that it's not what you say as much as what God anoints when you say it. God anoints things. He anoints foolish things. He anoints things that other people wouldn't have a clue that would be anointed. God makes simple things high impact. He makes your words unforgettable. He makes what you say be brought to the remembrance of people as they go about their day and they remember what you said, not because you're great, but because what was said was anointed. It was anointed. It had that sticking power. It had that power, that keeping power of staying within your mind and not letting it go. God has used you in a very simple, simple way. You know, whether you're sharing some experience you had, you may just share an experience that may just be, you know, hey, this is what happened to me in church. This is what happened to me as I was out jogging. And, you know, I thought I heard God say to me, just little things about your experience. Maybe you had a healing experience. Maybe you had something where you found peace, where you went and your pastor prayed for you or some person prayed for you and all the peace. Maybe you had an experience where you felt like you were, your confusion lifted, your heaviness went away. Whatever your experience is, if it's something that happened to you and it is real, we have to embellish nothing. We have to make nothing up. Our God is the Prince of Peace. He is real. He does remove burdens. He does destroy yokes. He's amazing. And we do experience these things. And when you share these things, you may walk away and think, well, I don't think he liked that. You have no idea what the Holy Spirit can do with your words, your experience. Oh, my. You may be sharing an experience of something that you were reading in the Scripture, something that God spoke to you about a certain passage of Scripture that really ministered to you, made sense to you, opened you up, healed you, gave you strength, took away fear. Something you heard over the radio, something you had, you know, you had your headphones on, you were out doing a little walk in the, around the block, and you had a CD on, and oh, this pastor, this lady teacher, this prophetess, whoever, and something resonated inside of you. And boy, that's something as it hits you, and then you share that, that's how God carries blessing from person to person to person. If you can get a cold by somebody sneezing on you or coughing in your face, if you can pass on germs, you can pass on healing. It's just the way that it is. You know, and sometimes, you know, just by declaring something, you know, you're speaking openly to God. You know, you are awakening people. You're setting the powers of darkness on edge. You are not alone as you think you are. Actually, we're never alone. You can be alone physically, but as you speak words out into the atmosphere, angels hear your words. The Holy Spirit hears your words. Yes, even devils and demons hear your words. There is another world that hears everything that you say. Why? Because the Scriptures, the Bible, this kingdom that we live in, everything is voice activated. Everything is voice activated. The words of our mouth release heaven and they release earth. They summon curses or they summon blessings. They open up people and they close people. They retrieve and like a magnet draw people, or they repulse and drive away people. Every time you are speaking, every time you are sharing, every time you are standing in a crowd, you can be radiating from the inside out, not even knowing, and you're sending signals. Signals come not just from our mouth, but from our innermost being. I'm saying to you today, you, my friend, are called to awaken people that are in your circle. You are called to be someone who isn't afraid, isn't backward, you know, isn't always going to give in to the political correctness. Your job is not to just talk trash around the water cooler at work or to give in to the control of how other people want conversations to go. Of course, we all have to, you know, yield to some of the places that we work in and worship in, and we do have to listen and, so to speak, go along and entertain somebody. We can't just be super spiritual where we don't relate to anybody. But when you can put that word in there, that's why the Bible says one word fitly spoken. I'm going to say that again. One word that is fitly spoken is more precious than all the gold and all of the silver that you could gather. These timely words that talk about your Jesus and what he's done for you. You may not understand Ezekiel. You may not understand Leviticus or Matthew or the book of Exodus. You may not understand how Jesus came from heaven to earth. And certainly none of us understand the timing of the Lord's soon return. But I'll tell you what you do relate to. What he did for you. The peace you felt. The joy you felt. The strength he gave you. The idea to enhance your business that he gave you. Whether into your own spirit or he spoke to you through counseling, or he spoke to you through a prophetic utterance. However it came, you know how much Jesus has meant to you. This is what qualifies you to be a voice in the wilderness. Oh, why do you say that? Look around you. Look around your neighborhood. If you live in a condominium, look around your condominium. If you live in a gated community, look around that. If you live on the underside of the bridge in a box, then look around you. Listen to me, everybody around you isn't really interested in hearing about this message. It's revolutionary. It is radical. People only have time enough to, most people today, to get through the day and survive any way that they can. Heaven to them is way off in the future when they die. Jesus is somebody they want to meet at the end of their life, not during their life. And the Bible, oh my, the Bible is just, you know, that's just a book that can't be understood. That's only for a select few. And so for people today, they don't have the time or the patience, many times, to pay attention. And then mix that into the blender with many of our leaders today that have fallen, that have left people down, both the priests and the pastors and evangelical leaders. So many people today have not been able to live their own message. And that has thrown such a controversy into the blender, making people think, well, if you can't do it and you know it, how can I do it? Listen to me. Anything that I'm saying to you, nothing should put a muzzle on your message. It's not about the priest or the pastor who failed. It's not about them. It's about you. It's about me. It's about the opportunity we have in this hour of these years that we have on this earth. Do we believe that we've had a genuine experience with Jesus? Do we absolutely concur and believe that he is who he says he is? Do we believe that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Do we believe that? That we don't want anyone to suffer eternal damnation? Do we believe that Jesus is a healer? And that if we would open up our mouth and profess that, that there could be many, many people come out of pain, come out of premature death, could be set free from bondage of drugs and alcohol and everything imaginable. Listen to me. This only comes about because somebody has to say, listen, it may not seem like anybody's listening to me. I may feel like I'm rejected. I may feel like nobody cares. But John the Baptist was a voice in the wilderness. Jesus was a voice in the wilderness. The Apostle Paul was a voice in the wilderness. All through history, even some of the great people in the 30s and 50s that brought in the message of healing, many of the early people that blazed the trails preaching that there was a supernatural aspect to the Gospels, they became a voice because they went against status quo. They went against conventionalism. They went against what was considered to be traditional. And people that blazed the trails talking about the Holy Spirit, people that blazed the trails talking about the second coming of Christ, all of these people are in various seasons and time dispensations were called by God to awaken people to a consciousness that God is bigger than we think. He cannot be contained into a Sunday morning service. He cannot be contained into once a week. That he's bigger than just someone who comes to you whenever you're in crisis. That he wants to be an everyday lifestyle God for you. He wants to be with you 24/7, not just on Sunday for an hour and Wednesday night for a half an hour, 45 minutes. There's a movement today on this planet that's preparing the whole earth to be taken over. The Bible says the earth groans today for the manifestations of the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. The earth is groaning. It just looks like earthquakes and storms and global warming, but the Bible says the earth is groaning for redemption. Even the earth knows that it needs to be redeemed and redeemed very quickly. The air, the water, the topsoil, etc., etc., etc. I mean, so much deforestation. So many of these storms have rearranged the ecosystem, taken away topsoil that takes so many years to come back to just do agriculture. And in many places, the soil isn't nearly what it used to be. The CO2 factor for quality air is diminishing. And the ozone layer around the earth is diminishing. This earth knows more than a lot of people know. What's the earth know? I need help. Oh, most people don't want to hear that. Most people just want the earth to go on forever and ever the way that it is. But yet Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now we know that heaven and earth will be renovated and purged, and then a new earth appears. So aren't we so happy to know all of this wonderful, wonderful truth? I pray as you're listening to what I'm saying to you today, oh, I pray that something in you is beginning to leap. Something in you is beginning to say, I have a voice. Something in you is beginning to say that somebody out there needs to know what I know, to hear what I've experienced, to believe what I believe. You may be such a difference maker, you know, maybe not to the millions, but maybe to the few that are around you. And then they themselves become difference makers. Each of our calling is to convey what we know, what we've experienced, and what audience or platform God gives each of us. And we're to be faithful. We're to believe it down deep in our soul so much that it possesses us, that nothing else really matters as much as letting people know that there is a forever to have and there's a life here that can be lived at a high level. I pray today as you hear this message, the voice in the wilderness, I pray that you will be a forerunner, just like John the Baptist. I pray that you would take a step back and realize, I know the Lord. I've had a lot of experiences. I believe deeply about the Word of God, the promises. I believe deeply that Jesus heals, that He saves, He delivers, He prospers. There's so many who need to hear. And you may think, well, they're turning a deaf ear. Oh, they're making fun of you, or they don't care. That's how people act whenever they're confronted with the truth. Give them space to swallow. Give them space to be impacted by your words or your presence. Let them go back to their homes and their jobs and think and meditate. After all, it may have taken you time to process to get where you are today. Somebody was a voice in the wilderness. Whose wilderness? Somebody was a voice into your wilderness. And aren't you glad that voice pierced your resistance, your rebellion, your hard-heartedness? Aren't you glad that somebody had the audacity, the boldness, the courage to come into your front porch and say, hey, you, and they began to expect Jesus to touch you, to come to you. And because somebody pierced into your wilderness, you are where you are today. Oh, I tell you, I just feel right now as I'm sharing this to all of my friends, all of those who would purchase this CD, however this comes into your hands as a gift. I pray the real gift is that you realize that you may feel alone, but you're not. Angels are listening. God is listening. The Holy Spirit is listening. And your words matter. Your life matters. All of your decisions matter. Do not buy into that lie of who cares. Do not buy into that. God cares. That's why He's kept you and brought you through all of the situations that you were in that could have taken you out. And He brought you through for this moment, this time in your life, to shine, to come into enlightenment, to make a decision. And that decision is, I'm going to go with God. I will be a voice in this cultural isolation today. Wherever I am, wherever I work, wherever I live, I will be somebody's bright and shining star. I'll be somebody's light. I'll be that flower that grows between the sidewalks for somebody, that they may too have hope as I have hope, that they too may know the Lord as I know the Lord, that they too may be a voice in somebody's wilderness. God bless you. Visit our website at billyburke.org for more information and other subject matter. Until I see you again here on the internet or in a meeting, God bless you, and remember, you're one touch away from your miracle.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED, or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.